Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, May 28, 2023, second class, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we pray, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5:21. Sounds like this in corrected translation. So that just as the sin nature has ruled basileo in the sphere of spiritual death, so also the grace of God might basileo reign or rule through imputed righteousness, the grace pipeline established for us at salvation because of eternal life. Through or by the agency of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, a little summary. One, four imputations make it possible for the grace of God to rule in the life of the believer. Four imputations make it possible for the grace of God to rule in the life of the believer. It starts out with two real imputations that occur at the moment of physical birth, and then two judicial imputations which relate to our spiritual birth. One is the cross and the other at the moment of salvation. So point two, the two real imputations occur at the moment of physical birth. At physical birth, you come into the world physically alive but spiritually dead. At the moment of physical birth, you have the real imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed sin nature, resulting in spiritual death. And also at the physical birth, the real imputation of human life to the soul. So we come into the world, we're born physically alive but spiritually dead. But we're dichotomous. We have a body and a soul, but we're spiritually dead. We have no human spirit. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, regenerated. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Now you are a regenerated spirit, have spiritual regeneration through faith in Christ. Three, the principle is in God's grace plan, condemnation activates grace. Condemnation activates grace. And that means condemnation must precede salvation by grace. Condemnation must precede justification by grace. So condemnation, that physical birth, the real imputations, activates the grace of God. Four, the two judicial imputations occur First, at the cross, when all the sins of the world were gathered up by God the Father, imputed to Christ on the cross, and judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sin is no longer the issue. That's the salvation work of Christ on the cross, being judged for all of our sins. The second judicial imputation is at spiritual birth. The judicial imputation of divine righteousness when anyone, any place, anywhere simply believes in Jesus Christ. So the two judicial imputations occur at the cross, sins of the world to Christ, and at spiritual birth. The imputation of God's righteousness to us when anyone, any place, anywhere simply believes in Christ. Five. So grace, the grace of God, replaces the imputation of cursing and condemnation with the imputation of blessing and justification. Grace replaces the imputation of cursing and condemnation with the imputation of blessing and justification. Now the end of verse 21. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a very important phrase, and in the time in which we're living today, there's a lot of confusion and distortion about that phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to take some time and go through, we're going to study the Lordship of Christ. That's why I say we're not going to be going on to chapter 6 right away. I want to study in the Word of God the Lordship of Christ. But first of all, before we even get to the Lordship of Christ, as we look at the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ, it is imperative that we deal with a very popular false doctrine, false gospel, that is spreading and infiltrating fundamental churches all over America. And that false doctrine, false gospel, is lordship salvation. This has just exploded. I think it started in California. Well, there's a lot of problems that have come out of California. But started in California and then just went through all kinds of Bible colleges and schools and spread throughout the country. And if you approach this as the basis of salvation, well, you'll never be saved. You've heard somebody say, if Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. You ever heard that? If Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. That is a total, total lie. And we will be studying the Lordship of Christ. Jesus Christ has always been Lord. Eternity past, now, and forever. Always Lord. And when you believe in Christ, you are possession, genitive of possession. He is our Lord at the moment of salvation. Right then, at the moment of faith in Christ, he is our Lord. So, first of all, as we look at the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ, it's imperative that we deal with a false doctrine, and that is Lordship salvation. So let's take a look at this. This seems to be the false gospel that is most prevalent in our society today among fundamentalists. So one, This false system of salvation uses a false epigram that says, if Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. That is a total lie. 100% false. So this false system of salvation uses a false epigram that says, if Christ is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Two, this statement ignores completely the lordship of Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at the very moment of salvation, faith in Christ. At the very moment you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you, identifies you, enters you into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You're in union with Jesus Christ. He's your Lord right then at salvation through the baptism of the Spirit. Now let's amplify that. Again, point two, this statement ignores completely the lordship of Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at the very moment of salvation and faith in Christ. Let's amplify that. Subpoint one, Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. That's his title, one of his titles. He's got several titles. He is the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Subpoint two, Jesus Christ was Lord in eternity past. He is Lord now, and he always will be Lord. Jesus Christ was Lord in eternity past. He is Lord now. He always will be Lord. Three, the moment we believe in Christ, the baptism of the Spirit enters us into union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. The moment we believe in Christ, the baptism of the Spirit enters us into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Therefore, point four, we share in his lordship, and therefore he is our Lord. He is our Lord at the moment of faith in Christ. We are in union with Christ, we share his lordship, and therefore he is our Lord. And that's why, and you, I know you are the enlightened congregation, in Old Testament times, when an individual believed in Christ, he had regeneration, born again. But none of them were in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords through the baptism of the Spirit. And so, Moses never had the baptism of the Spirit. David never had the baptism of the Spirit. Jeremiah never had the baptism of the Spirit. None of them were in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. They were family of God. Through regeneration, they were all family of God. All throughout the Old Testament dispensations. But we're living in a very unique time, the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Now Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now Satan's attack is on the whole body of Christ. So God in his infinite wisdom gave to us the same thing he gave to Jesus Christ in his humanity, a unique spiritual life. He's given us that unique spiritual life that could only be lived by divine power. The spiritual life in the church age is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. The filling of the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. And so we have this unique spiritual life so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and glorify Him to the maximum. So therefore we share in his lordship, and therefore he is our Lord. Five, he is our Lord whether we know it or not at the moment of salvation. He is our Lord whether we know it or not at the moment of salvation. Now again, as I was saying, in the Old Testament, they were family of God. We are royal family of God. This is the only dispensation. We are royal family of God because we are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That makes, we have the most unique and special and great blessings given to us. And to whom much is given, much is expected and required. So he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Lord whether we know it or not. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of salvation, whether we know that or not is not the issue at all. Point three. You do not make a commitment of making Christ Lord of all for salvation. You do not make a commitment of making Christ Lord of all for salvation. That is a false doctrine of salvation by works, a false gospel. And therefore, it is not salvation. Therefore, it is not salvation. Four. No one can make Christ Lord. He is always Lord. No one can make Christ Lord. He is always Lord. Five. But at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters you into union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we get to Romans chapter 6, and we will. Romans 6, what a great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, current positional truth. The Apostle Paul goes through and, boy, he just beautifully communicates this fantastic doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in His death and burial. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in His resurrection. See at the right hand of the Father. That's Romans 6. And then Romans 7 gets even better than that. Then he brings in an illustration, an analogy to explain what he taught in chapter 6. And he uses marriage. We'll probably get fill up the whole place talking about marriage. And that's used as an illustration or analogy to explain what he just taught in chapter 6. Now he's going to communicate it in chapter 7. But if we don't finish it before the rapture, we'll finish it in heaven. Six. Therefore, Jesus Christ is always the Lord of the believer from the moment of faith in Christ forever. Therefore, Jesus Christ is always the Lord of the believer from the moment of faith in Christ forever. He's always your Lord. You don't make a commitment to make Him Lord. You can't. How are you going to make Christ Lord? He's always Lord. See, they bring this in. You know what that is? That's just to get you to get into legalism and works and do things. You haven't committed your life to the Lord. What are you doing? Going fishing all the time? Hunting? You see, and it's legalism, putting pressure on people. You got to do this and this. You got to commit yourself and make Christ Lord of all, Lord of your life for everything. Stop doing all these stupid things you're doing. And that is totally wrong, false. Seven. Lordship salvation is salvation by works, and therefore it is not salvation. Lordship salvation is salvation by works, and therefore it is not salvation. 8. The spiritually dead person does not have the ability to make Christ Lord of anything. The spiritually dead person does not have the ability to make Christ Lord of anything. There's only one thing he can do, and there's only one thing that God requires you to do, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Just simply believe in Christ. God did all the work. God the Father planned salvation. God the Son executed on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. God does everything. All you can do is simply believe in Jesus Christ. And that's it. So the spiritually dead person does not have the ability to make Christ Lord of anything. All he can do is believe in Jesus Christ. And at that second, God the Holy Spirit enters the believer into union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and he is your Lord forever. At that very moment, forever, he is your Lord. 9. Lordship salvation is just one of many false gospels of salvation by works, but it's the one that is going all throughout the country in fundamentalism. And Satan's no dummy. And he has found a way to neutralize fundamental Christianity, and he's doing it through this. So lordship salvation is just one of many false gospels of salvation by works. 10. Salvation by works is a false gospel which rejects God's grace plan in the provision of eternal salvation for the human race. Salvation by works is a false gospel which rejects God's grace plan in the provision of eternal salvation for the human race. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it depends on your works, you get the glory. It depends on God's work, God gets the glory. 11. Salvation by works makes the distinction between Christianity and religion. Salvation by works makes the distinction between Christianity and religion. In Christianity, mankind is eternally saved through the work of God. God the Father planned salvation, Operation Grace. God the Son executed it on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. That's Christianity. God does all the work. That's Christianity. Now, In religion, man seeks to gain the approbation of God through some category of human works, or self-sacrifice, or personality. That's religion. Christianity and religion are exact opposite. The one of the men that I knew on the Washington State University football team, Bill Moose. Bill was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on the same, my brother Don was on the same team with Bill. Bill was on the offensive side of the line, and my brother Don was on the defensive side. Don was a defensive end. Bill was a tackle. And Bill would always tell me, he says, I hated trying to, in practice, practice was worse than a game because your brother was so damn fast, he went around me all the time, made me look bad. I said, well, that's because you were bad. No, I hadn't. And Bill asked me, I gave the gospel, part of Campus Crusade for Christ. The football coach at WSU invited Campus Crusade for Christ to come in and speak to the football team. So they had me go in and give my testimony and give the gospel, which I did. And it was great. And then I get a phone call from Bill. He said, Dick, I'm taking this class. We're studying the religions of the world. And I said, that sounds like a horrible class. Why would you want to take that? And he says, we've been having, the professor brings in all these people for all these different religions, but he doesn't know who to bring in for Christianity. I said, well, and so I told him, you spoke to our football team. And he said, well, that's okay. If he wants to, he can take it. I should have said, you ought to tell your professor to stick around. So I went to the class, and it was absolutely packed. And I said, I understand that you are studying the religions of the world, and you needed somebody to come and talk to you about Christianity. I said, I shouldn't even be here. Because Christianity is not a religion. In religion, all the religions of the world, you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this, and maybe you can get to what they call heaven. But in Christianity, we can't do anything. So God did everything for us. And then went through, and it was so great. This is one of those things that you look back and you can see the hand of Jesus Christ just bringing you along and leading you. Because I had no idea. At this point, I had no idea what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I taught that class, and it was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. You know, the proverbial pin. And after the class was over, then people started asking questions. And they weren't being arrogant about it. They weren't trying to put me down. They were great questions, wanting to know, Dick, what does the Bible have to say about this? I said, well, turn over here. Dick, what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, turn over here. Dick, what does the Bible say about it? They kept me another hour. I was there for another hour answering all these questions. They were all great questions. And after class was finally over and I'm walking back to Stevenson, I can't tell you, my feet weren't even touching the sidewalk. And I'm talking out loud, Father, that was so great. That was so fantastic, Father. I would like to do that the rest of my life. But I'm Norwegian, so I walked on about another 10 yards before I realized what I just said. And the light went on. Well, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do the rest of my life. I ran all the way back to Stevenson. As soon as I got there, I got on the phone, called up Pastor Breckel. I said, Ron, you might think I'm crazy, but I think I have the gift of pastor teacher. And I explained what went on, what had gone on teaching. He goes, Dick, I know you have the gift of pastor teacher, but he says, I couldn't tell you that. Only God can tell you that. I said, he told me. And he said, come over right now and we'll apply for Dallas Theological Seminary so you can prepare for the ministry. So this lordship salvation, Christianity is not a religion. In Christianity, God does all the work and man is the beneficiary apart from any works. All right, well, we'll pick it up at this point next Sunday with our heads bowed. Father, we're constantly amazed at your tremendous grace that you show to us day after day after day. Thank you for the privilege that we have of assembling this morning in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.